Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, America's Family Coaches. And Barb, today it's back to the basics with Communication 101.
Oh, Gary, I mean, who hasn't had a problem in communication with your spouse, your child, a coworker, or friend? We have all had times where these relationships that we care about, we're close to, we can struggle to communicate effectively. Oh my goodness. Gary, remember years ago when we were sitting on our sofa? And there have been a lot of times we've sat on that sofa. And oh, there was something you were saying to me. You were so probably direct and masculine, and I took it to heart. It just absolutely, I remember I started crying. Do you remember what happened?
Well, I do, because I looked at you and I saw your countenance drop, and I thought, there you go again, Gary. So in trying to make my point, I was wounding you. And you know what, Barb, when I coach men on that issue, you know, I'll say, how many of you guys are masculine? And you know, every guy raises his hand, and we're masculine. And so we're trying to make a determinant point and talk something through. But in that testosterone, you know, loaded conversation or whatever, golly, we got to be incredibly cautious because it can come off as a brute. And so Communication 101, one of the first things we need to continue to learn to do is to be very, very cautious about how we communicate, because that body language, that tone of voice is so critically important.
I'm going to make sure that I tell the rest of the story, because Gary, you did something in that moment that was life-changing for us in our marriage. And you took the pillow off the sofa and you said, here, Barb, you've been carrying this over your heart. I thought, yes, I have. And then you threw it on the floor. What did you say in that
moment? The pillow was representing the issue we were talking about, because as I was talking about it with a lot of velocity or whatever, you were holding it so close in front of your heart that it was like arrows were going through the pillow into your heart. And so when I threw it on the floor, you know, I said, let's talk about it. Let's separate the person from the behavior. Let me have some strong feelings about this topic, but not hold it so close to your heart that it becomes an offense, you know, against you. And I remember looking you in the eyes, and you were looking so good that day. I think we just started kissing on the couch and we forgot about what we were doing.
Well, that came after you said these words.
Okay.
That pillow is the enemy.
Yeah.
And you put your arm around me.
Yeah. And I said, Barb.
And you said, Barb.
You're not the enemy.
I'm not the enemy. You're not the enemy. It. And you threw it on the floor and it was away from us. And whatever that conflict was about, I can't remember, but I remember your loving arms going around me, pulling me close, letting me feel safe, and feeling like whatever the problem was outside of our relationship. Mm-hmm. It did not take us hostage. It did not rob us. So again, that was a real movement towards Communication 101, which caused us to break through what was dividing us, what was holding us hostage, into a brand new realm of understanding and accepting one another. It was a grand moment. So today on the program, we're going to break it down even more and tell you some insights, what's really possible in your marriage by doing just a handful of things.
And Barbara, you used a word, and it's understanding. And that's what 1 Peter 3:7 says, as husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Another version says, be considerate. So when a husband wants to connect with his wife, these tips with Communication 101 will line up with 1 Peter 3:7. You know, a second one is take one issue at a time. Barb, I did 25,000 hours of marriage therapy, and I want you to know I'm feeling much better since I've done all that therapy, and that's my throwaway line. Yeah, you like that. But, you know, I coach couples all the time. When couples would come into my office and they would just start piling on, you know, I'd think, well, first of all, we're going to be here forever. And secondly, they'll never get out of the counseling, and we can't tackle all these problems. And so I would coach them and train them, retrain them. You take one issue at a time, and you work through that, and you connect with each other, and you listen and honor each other's thoughts and the feelings or emotions around that. What do they need around that? What are the solutions around that? And so take one issue at a time. Put the spotlight on that person to help them experience that sense of connection.
Well, which goes into our second point, Gary, which is allow one person to speak at a time. And
No, Barbara, I think the other person... No, that's an interruption, right? Oh, that's what I'm not supposed to do. Okay, go ahead. Speak one person at a time.
I thought, Gary, you're breaking rules. I've never heard you do this before. But it is the second point I'm attempting to make. is don't interrupt. Allow your spouse to put the spotlight on them. Do you hear how I'm even like going, this doesn't usually happen in our relationship. And when you have an invisible spotlight on your spouse, say for 5 minutes, you're allowing them to talk. You're allowing them to kind of pull out more and more details. You're allowing them not to have to skim, but to leave room for full expression. No interruptions, no feedback. So what you're having to do is fight interruptions, fight adding to. And yet what happens is that when one person can speak at a time, they're feeling respected. They're feeling like they're getting all of your attention. And what happens is there's room for increasing understanding in your marriage.
So be specific and get to the point.
That's right.
Well, that's the next one. Yes. And see, that is, be specific and get to the point is the next one. And Barb, therein lies part of the quandary when a husband is wanting to fulfill the admonition in 1 Peter 3:7 to live with our wives in an understanding way. Because when a wife is experiencing a lot of the emotion and is processing the data and is maybe coming to her own solution, likely coming to her own solution, because our wives are plenty capable, starting with you, of doing that, and you're working through all of that, a husband is watching this, you know, communication. And it's like he's thinking to himself, do I get an instruction manual with this conversation? I mean, I'm trying to figure out where do I, you know, focus? You know, what's the most important issue? Give me the specificity of this deal so I know what problem to solve. And so we've got to try to figure out how do you keep one issue, try to be as specific. One of the things we've just learned is if there's something that you need to tell me, rather than dressing the Christmas tree and then putting the star on the top, I ask you to put the star on the top and then dress the tree.
That's absolutely right. When we were writing the book, The Five Love Needs of Men and Women, you wrote to women and I wrote to men. And that's the first thing I had to learn from my editor. And that is give them the bottom line first, then dress up all the details.
Well, I think I'd been telling you that, though.
You had. But when my editor told me that, it was like, oh, that's what Gary's been saying. So amazingly now, I think, Gary, sometimes I speak more to the point, more bottom line than any woman I know. Why? Because I have been trained by you. And somehow it's really broken through in our marriage relationship. Now, this does not always work well when I speak with other women because it's like, give me the details, dress it up a little bit. So in the same way, you have learned to give me more details, dress it up a little bit, and we have a fine time at the end of the day getting to know what's gone on, what's important, what are the highs, what are the lows. Bottom line is, and I'm saying the bottom line, be specific and to the point. Especially if you're talking to your husband.
And one more element is to listen. In James 1:19, here's what James says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So quick to listen. You know, my dad used to say, Gary, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, so you'd listen twice as much as you talk. I mean, that's great insight from my Swedish dad. And, you know, so be quick to listen, be cautious, and be slow to speak.
Yes.
You know, but especially be slow to anger.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and I was giggling about your dad because that was so true. He walked with wisdom and he measured virtually everything he said before he said it.
Yeah.
But I can imagine him being your dad because you have lots of personality and lots of words. And I'm very proud of you.
And your point would be what, Barb? What's a specific point on that one I need to
do? I love being your best listener.
Oh, golly. You're
doing
awesome.
Don't you ever forget it. I am your best listener.
All right, baby.
I'm your raving fan.
Hey, did I tell you about the time? Yeah.
All right. I think you are the most interesting man I've ever met in my life.
Yeah,
do I tell you that too much?
No.
Is that the bottom line?
That would be the bottom line.
Okay, let's go shopping.
So it's So communication 101. So guys, when you sit down and talk with your wife today, number one rule is get rid of the smartphone so that you're not texting. Or watching or playing or YouTubing. It's
what
just for you
her?
And your wife.
And so she can't text and she can't call and she can't email?
That would be good.
Makes sense.
Give us your feedback at AmericasFamilyCoaches.com. We'll see you next time.